Above all, a tribesman had to be generous and share his livestock and food. Life in the steppes would be impossible if people selfishly hoarded their wealth while others went hungry. A tribe that was rich today could easily become destitute tomorrow. If you had been miserly in good days, who would help you in your hour of need? Muruwa made a virtue out of this necessity, encouraging the Karim, the generous hero, to care little for material goods so that he would not become depressed by his life of deprivation. A truly noble Bedouin would take no heed for the morrow, showing by his lavish gifts and hospitality that he valued his fellow tribesmen more than his possessions. He had to be prepared to give all his wealth, his camels, flocks and slaves, to others, and could squander his entire fortune in a single night by putting on a superb feast for his friends and allies. But the generosity of the Karim could be self-destructive and egotistic. He could reduce his family to poverty overnight simply to demonstrate the nobility that flowed in his veins and enhance his status and reputation. Muruwa was an inspiring ideal, but by the end of the 6th century, its weaknesses were becoming tragically apparent. Tribal solidarity, or asibiya, encouraged bravery and selflessness, but only within the context of the tribe. There was no concept of universal human rights. A Bedouin felt responsible merely for his blood relatives and confederates. He had no concern for outsiders, whom he regarded as worthless and expendable. If he had to kill them to benefit his own people, he felt no moral anguish and wasted no time in philosophical abstractions or ethical considerations. Since the tribe was the most sacred value, he backed it, right or wrong. "I am of Ghazia," sang one of the poets. "If she be in error, I will be in error, and if Ghazia be guided right, I will go with her." Or, in the words of a popular maxim, help your brother, whether he is being wronged or wronging others. Each tribe had its own special brand of Muruwa, which, the Arabs believed, had been inherited from the founding fathers of the tribe, and was passed, like other physical and mental characteristics, from one generation to another. They called this tribal glory hasab, ancestral honour. As the source of their particular genius, tribesmen revered their forefathers as the supreme authority, and this inevitably encouraged a deep and entrenched conservatism. The way of life, the sunnah, that the ancients had bequeathed to their descendants was sacred and inviolable. "He belongs to a tribe whose fathers have laid down for them a sunnah," another poet explained. "Every folk has its own traditional sunnah. Every folk has its objects of imitation." Any deviation, however trivial, from ancestral custom was a great evil. A practice was approved not because of its inherent decency or nobility, but simply because it had been sanctioned long ago by the fathers of the tribe.